This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Padres and Dodgers won't be the only Game 5 in the division series. That was guaranteed yesterday. Welcome back. Ben and Woods, hour number two in studio. Stephen Woods, Ben Higgins, Adam Klug today in for Paul Reindel, who is at a wedding. We'll be back on Monday. Not missing much.
We got Bald Reindel today.
Yep.
You think he likes that nickname?
No, probably not.
It's so funny because I look over, I can see Paul's full face, and all I see is the top of his shiny dome.
Paul is much taller than Adam. This segment on Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited-time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon, or get the fan-favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs, or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. So yesterday, Game 4 of the American League Division Series, Comerica Park in Detroit. Tigers trying to wrap it up at home, and what a fantastic game. It was close. It was back and forth. Woo. Jose Ramirez homered to give him up 2-1 lead in the top of the fifth. The Guardians, Zach McKinstry answered in the bottom of the inning, 2-2. Tigers then take a 3-2 lead. So the season on the line for the Guardians. They're down 3-2. Get to the seventh inning, one man on, two outs, two strikes, and pinch hitter David Fry at the plate.
The 2-2 delivery. Swung on, hit a ton, deep left, green, back, track, wall, gone! David Fry! Off the bench, a two strike, two out, two run, home run. And Cleveland's back on top for the third time tonight, 4-3.
Huge swing by David Fry, who then, Woods, remained in the game, and it stayed 4-3 until the top of the ninth inning, when the Guardians put runners at the corners with one out, and Fry comes up again. Now, I heard after the game that David Fry laid down one bunt all season long.
Oh my God.
Bunted into a double play. The only time he has ever laid one down. But Stephen Vogt, the manager of the Guardians, decided, let's surprise the Tigers. Here's what happened.
He squares to bunt, safety bunt. Coming home with it. Backhanded flip. The tag on Rocchio. Not in time. He's in with a head first slide. Oof. They pulled off a safety squeeze. And a beauty of a bunt by David Fry. He trickled it out between the mound and home plate. Vest came flying off that mound with a backhanded, almost like an option quarterback.
It was a beautiful,
the old
beautiful
Jake
bunt.
Taylor, the guy who hit the home run and now comes up and lays down the bunt for the insurance run, which turned out to be very important because the Tigers would score one in the bottom of the ninth, but only one, and the Guardians hold on for the 5-4 win to even the series at 2 and get it back to Progressive Field for a Game 5 tomorrow. Now, the Tigers will have Tarek Skubal on the mound, so they'll still have a really good chance, but it's road. They've seen him once in this series. You know, to me, that's a coin flip again. Anyone's ball game going into Game 5.
Yeah, I think both managers feel, you know, you can feel pretty confident. Like, yeah, he's really, really good, but we just saw him. We kind of know how he's going to attack us unless he completely goes off script and changes his game plan, which he may. But, we all took ABs off of him already. And then if you're the Tigers and A.J. Hinch, you're like, we're good. We got Tarek Skubal on the bump. I thought it was, interesting. They brought in Class A for a 5-out save last night. And Fry is a good story. I was reading this morning. He was the player to be named later in a 2021 trade that sent J.C. Mejia to Milwaukee. Backup catcher, utility guy. Might not have had a spot on the opening day roster if it wasn't for his defensive versatility. He wasn't supposed to be an everyday player. During the first half of the season, he forced the Guardians to play him against righties and lefties because his bat was so hot. Led him to be one of the most unexpected all-stars on the American League roster. He also told the skipper, that, hey, I know I only bunted once. I bunted into a double play because I wasn't a good hitter in high school. So I'm pretty confident. I had to bunt a lot. Feel you, dude. Absolutely feel you. That, and of course, everyone's tweeting me when he lays down that bunt.
How many people can say, wasn't really a good hitter in high school,
but now
I'm in the big leagues and I'm a pretty good hitter.
Austin Hedges, maybe.
That does not happen.
His teammate. It was a great, great win for them, and forcing a game five.
So the other series though is over. Before we do that, if you want to call in for Take on Woods, we're going to play our game.
It's been a minute.
We haven't played all week, so we wanted to play at least once here on Friday. 833-288-0973. Phone lines are open. Got some concert tickets. Last pair on the line for Sublime with Rome at Gallagher Square. 833-288-0973. The other game, the New York Yankees on the road in Kansas City, up 2-1, trying to close it out at Kauffman Stadium. And just a really solid pitching performance by Gerrit Cole. Went 7 innings, allowed just 1 run. The Yankees got 1 in the first on a Juan Soto RBI single, added single runs a couple of times later in the game. 3-1. There was a dicey deep fly with a man on that Soto caught right at the wall.
God, I thought he had that ball.
Gerrit Cole looked a little panicked when the ball left the bat. Would have tied the game, but it ended up all the way 3-1 to the ninth, and the Yankees were able to close it out with the 3-1 win.
Judge has it lined up, and the Yankees are on their way to the LCS. The Royals gave them a good battle. All four games were close. But the Yankees, who didn't make the postseason last year, a rarity, now advance to the LCS.
Pretty nuts seeing after the game, all the Royals had gone down into the dugout, except for one. Can you guess which one? Stayed, leaned over the railing, and watched the entire celebration, Benjamin.
Sal.
Bobby Witt.
Oh, Bobby Witt. Jr.
Love that kid. What a player.
Fueling himself for many years to come.
You feel that way. And, you know, they're one of those teams where you would hate to see them not try again next year when you have a superstar of his talent. And there's no guarantee you'll make the playoffs ever again, right? If you're a Royal, and hell, if you're in any team. But you look at what they have, their young core, and you go, yeah, man, like Cole Reagans, Bobby Witt, there's something to build on there. You hope that they continue to put money toward their team. They are so fun to watch. Such a fun, fun team to watch play baseball.
So the New York team's sitting pretty, waiting for the rest of the league. The Yankees
is elated, I'm sure.
Have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off before Monday's game one of the ALCS.
A lot of breaks, I feel like.
Awaiting the winner of either the Guardians or the Tigers on Saturday's game. That winner will head right to New York for games one and two of the American League Championship Series. Yeah, you could have a Subway Series rematch. Obviously, you have the one that Major League Baseball is salivating over, which would be Yankees-Dodgers. They think that would be a ratings winner.
They're the worst matchup for them entirely is Tigers-Padres, I would guess.
I would think Tigers-Padres or Guardians-Padres are probably both kind of close in terms of like the ones that Major League Baseball doesn't want in the postseason.
I don't even know if Manfred would go to a game. If it was that, he's like, I'm good. I'll just watch from my office. I don't even know if he'd watch, to be honest, if it were those two teams.
I saw some conspiracy theorists. There's no way they'll let the Padres win this game.
No chance.
If that was true, why wouldn't it just be Yankees-Dodgers every year in the World Series? You know, the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009,
well,
right?
The Dodgers didn't even make the playoffs. They're like, hey, we're doing our part. You got to do yours.
Dodgers haven't really won one since 1988. If they were so obsessed with making it happen, they probably would have made it happen once or twice, in the last 40 years.
This is Shohei's first year with the LA Dodgers. Just so you know, first season with the LA Dodgers. So he was in Anaheim before. Now they have a real reason.
They didn't rig it for the Angels to make the playoffs over and over again for Shohei, that's for sure.
They did not. So,
all right, I see a lot of people on the line.
Finally,
everyone missed a take
missed
on Woods,
so
let's bring it back here on a Friday.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Oh, man. Adam, you just pick. I got so many callers on the line right now. Give me one.
Why don't we try Heather in San Diego?
Heather! All right. Good morning, Heather. How are you? Oh, there you are. Hang on. Good morning, Heather. How are you? Yeah, unfortunately, Heather's phone is not working. Hi, Jamie. You there, Jamie?
I'm here.
All right, Jamie. Your gain is Heather's loss. Heather's loss is your gain. All right. Let's play some Take on Woods. Five questions of musical trivia head-to-head against Woodsy. He has left the studio. You get to go first. Pick our category. If you beat or tie him, we'll give you some tickets straight up to Sublime with Rome at Gallagher Square on November 23rd. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Here are your category choices today. We've got Family Trip, five song titles and artists that have something to do with taking a trip. We got What's Up. We got five song titles that begin with What's. And we have on the chessboard all the questions having to do with chess and chess pieces. So, Family Trip, What's Up, or on the chessboard, Jamie?
Family Trip.
Family Trip. All right. Again, we've got five song titles and artists that have something to do with taking a trip. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question, Adam is queuing it up now, is our two-second song. He's going to play a little bit of music. You need to give me a song title and the artist. One of those will be trip-related to score that point. So that's a two-part question. Jamie, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right. Adam, you ready? 60 seconds on the clock. The category again is Family Trip. Jamie, your time begins when Adam plays our music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Journey, faithfully.
Correct. Which 1983 hit did Lindsey Buckingham write and perform for the movie National Lampoon's Vacation?
Yep.
Which band is best known for the singles Run Around and Hook from their 1994 album Four?
Blues Traveler.
Correct. Which Australian band broke through in 2003 with their single Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Pass for now.
Which 2012 debut single by Florida Georgia Line starts with the line, Baby, you're a song, and was so popular it's considered the first major hit of the bro country genre?
Oh, let's go back again.
All right, which 1983 hit did Lindsey Buckingham write and perform for the movie National Lampoon's Vacation?
Pass.
Let's go back to which Australian band broke through in 2003 with their single, Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Oh, I can hear it in my head. I'm going to beat this one.
That's all right. You got two right. Which 2012 damn, time is up. All right, you did get two.
Oh.
You got Faithfully by Journey. Hang on the line, Jamie. And you got Blues Traveler. So Lindsey Buckingham, Holiday Road from Vacation. Jet is the name of the band for Are You Gonna Be My Girl. And Cruise is the Florida Georgia Line. All related some way. All right, Woodsy's back in here. Jamie's score is locked in. Woodsy doesn't get the category. Let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Adam plays our music. Good luck. Let's take on Jamie.
Oh, Faithfully, Journey.
Correct. Which 1983 hit did Lindsey Buckingham write and perform for the movie National Lampoon's Vacation?
Holiday Road.
Correct. Which band is best known for the singles Run Around and Hook from their 1994 album Four?
Blues Traveler.
Correct. Which Australian band broke through in 2003 with their single Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Jet.
Correct. Which 2012 debut single by Florida Georgia Line starts with the line, Baby, you're a song, and was so popular it's considered the first major hit of the bro country genre?
Oh, my taint is raw.
No, it's Cruise. And you do win 4-2. Jamie, thank you for playing.
Thanks,
today.
Appreciate it.
And the category.
Something traveling?
Family Trip.
Family
Yes.
Trip.
Journey, Holiday, Traveler, Jet, Cruise.
Love it.
Woods, you went undefeated this week.
Yes, 1-0, baby.
And take
that's,
on
all we, hey, that's all we have to do is the the Padres as well.
Let's hope, we're so distracted next week that maybe we only get one.
Oh.
Take on Woods in next week as well, because we have so many LCS games to talk about.
100%.
James, Jamie, thank you for playing. You can absolutely give it another try. We'll put those tickets for Sublime back in the hopper. We'll give them away later in the program. When we come back, you have some Don't Do This for us?
Sure.
Why not? Let's get Don't Do This coming up when we return with Ben and Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't do this.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, a little DDT here on a Friday morning. I want to start with an update on a story we talked about yesterday, and that was the significant damage caused by Hurricane Milton to Tropicana Field. And the Rays have issued a statement yesterday, Woods, and it's bad. They said it's going to take weeks to even assess the condition of Tropicana Field. The tarp that covers the entire stadium, which was designed, by the way, to withstand winds of 115 miles per hour.
Wow.
That's how significant this hurricane was completely shredded. I mean, now there's no roof on the place at all. I did see some people suggest, well, just take it off. I mean, you can play without a roof. And they go,
no.
There's no drainage. No. So, I mean, if rain gets in there, it'll become unplayable for like days and days and days. So it's not really an option. They have, again, approved a new stadium, a new ballpark that is scheduled to be built in time for the 2028 season. But they need...
they got to fix this first.
They need somewhere to play and fix it for 2025, 2026, and 2027, and you know it's going to cost a pretty penny. I'm not exactly sure, like the timing of it. Will it even be ready in time for next season? Are the Rays going to have to find a temporary home? It's a little early to even kind of go into some of those things. But right now, the Rays are just saying, "Hey, most important thing is making sure that everybody you know gets the help they need in light of all the damage and you know over a dozen deaths I think confirmed from Hurricane Milton." So. That's the priority right now, but they said they will be assessing the damage to the translucent Teflon-coated fiberglass support roof that supported by 180 miles of cables. Think about that. 180 miles of cables that held that thing up, and now they're going to have to rebuild it all.
Oh, my God.
You know, hopefully in time for the start of the 2025 season. Ouch.
Yeah, it wasn't the most playable ballpark even when the roof was on. And now you got to sink all that money into it. And it's just such a drag, man. It's hurricanes just ravaged.
Or move to Montreal for 3 years and then come back to Tampa Bay or something like that.
No doubt. So, we talked a little bit earlier about the Yankees-Royals last night. I was watching that game, and I was pretty surprised that the benches cleared last night. Then they kind of slowed things down, and I saw what had actually happened. And I went, oh, all right, well, I mean... I could kind of get it, but got a little bit chippy yesterday during game four. Pretty tense game, close game. Mikel Garcia sliding into second base, and it was a ground ball to first base. John Birdie turns. He steps to the bag, then they need to get the tag play on because the force is eliminated. So Yankee shortstop Anthony Volpe goes to the bag, catches the ball. Mikel Garcia sees him catching the ball, goes out. Semi trying to do like a little bit of a takeout slide, but wasn't going to happen. The tag plate needed to be on. So he, as Mikel Garcia reached his left hand to like push him out of the way, Volpe hits him with a right hand forearm shiver to the throat, which I was like, whoa, it was pretty hard, actually.
When I saw it live, I thought
it was nothing.
I thought Volpe was being really aggressive because he clearly tagged him the first time really hard before he got to the base.
Yeah.
And then Garcia like slid past the base.
The base.
And he went back and he tagged him hard again and pushed him. And then that's when Garcia got a little like up in arms. And then, you know, he's going over and like patting him on the butt, kind of
back
ushering,
on the back three
ushering
times.
Him pat, off pat, the field, pat. Like, yep. Get out of here. And I go, why is he so aggressive? But then when I saw the replay and saw what Garcia did, kind of tries to deliver a forearm shiver to the neck.
Correct.
As he's
so they
sliding
both,
in.
They both
it's one thing to do a hard slide. It's another to like, reach your arm out and actually like go for a guy's head. So I can see why Volpe was a little hot under the collar as well. They both escalated that a little bit.
They did.
Benches
well,
cleared very quickly.
What happened, what really escalated, is Gerrit Cole walked over. Jazz Chisholm came over from third base, and he started running his mouth, as he's known to do.
Jazz has already been a polarizing figure in the series. You know, the got under the skin of Royals fans who booed him loudly. He said, Last time I checked, they don't boo nobody like that. Yeah.
It was a good bit, man. It was a good bit. But yeah, the bullpens came running in.
So let me ask
you,
because I saw this brought up on social media last night. Should Major League Baseball do what other sports have done? The NFL and the NBA have very strict rules. If you come off the bench, if you come off the sideline, you are suspended.
Agreed.
Major League Baseball obviously doesn't have that rule, or they would have had to suspend every single player on both teams for exiting the dugout, exiting the bullpens. You could end benches clearing brawls pretty much entirely by just instituting the same rule that other sports have done. Why doesn't Major League Baseball do that? Unless, of course, they secretly like benches clearing brawls.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be a decent thing. Look, the benches clearing. Maybe you just say no bullpens. Need to run in and then run back. You know what? If you're on, I just can't do the bench. It's got to be the players on the field. But then one, it would be 9-on-1. You know what I mean? So if it's
that's a good point.
One team is really in the hell. Hey, we can't. We're in the game.
We'll be suspended, but the nine guys
I'm
out
sorry.
There can just wail on the one guy who
I'm
charges.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't. I don't want to get suspended. I'm due third in the next inning.
You charge the mound. You're
in
a 1-on-9 situation at that point.
Yeah, 1-on-9. I don't like that idea. I like the maybe the benches are fine. No bullpens. Keep the bullpens where they belong. Is my opinion. Benny, tell me if you would about the rally.
I don't know. We're gonna. So I see people in our chat. I saw the picture yesterday. We have it on our YouTube stream right now. Luis Arraez during the workout like caught. A praying mantis on the field,
so
and
cool,
then
dude.
You know, kind of showed it off. And I mean, I think some people in some cultures consider praying mantises
extremely
to be
lucky,
a sign of good luck and good fortune. And maybe it was just a sign for the San Diego Padres. I mean, we've had the Rally Roach for months here. Where is the Rally Roach, by the way?
Adam, is it by you?
Rally Roach is here. I think any insect love. You want to kiss it, Adam, when we're here? Here, we'll pass it around.
This is amazing. So if you look up what the spiritual meaning and symbolism of the praying mantis. Some cultures believe that praying mantises have great intuition and can help show the way. It's an incarnation of God and a divine messenger. In ancient Greece, it was seen as a guide for those who needed direction. In Buddhism, the praying mantis represents patience and perseverance, calm behavior. The praying mantis's predatory habits can be a model for calm behavior and focus.
Who does that sound like to you?
All of them.
I see Caitlin in the chat. It's Peter. Peter Seidler coming back as a praying mantis to guide the Padres
beautiful, man.
In Game 5
yeah, they took
of
in the
National League Division Series. It went in.
They took it in the
clubhouse. We'll get an update. Sammy Leavitt was there at the workout yesterday. He is up at L.A. now, assuming at some sort of hotel that Adam put him up in. Adam, did you put him in a nice place at least? Decent.
I'm going to let you in a little secret.
He's staying at his brother's, isn't he?
Staying at the team hotel.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. For the playoffs, he is traveling with the Padres.
Oh,
really?
Sammy, dude. I love that for him.
That's impressive. They stay at nice places.
Did you see a little bit of the
a jealousy?
The envy?
No, it's clear. I'm not hiding it.
It's his one
I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express in Glendale. That is clearly not the team hotel. I did not see one Padre in the lobby at the Continental Breakfast.
Not one.
At the Holiday Inn Express in Glendale. Not one. This guy expecting to walk down going, Manny, good to see you. The oatmeal's pretty good if you want to try that. They've got some raisins and brown sugar to put on that. And then did you see they have the little pancake bar.
And the waffle maker?
Make your own. They actually had a pancake maker, not a waffle maker. I've never seen that before. They weren't there.
Adam, it's his out of the seven deadly sins, it's the only one he possesses. And he possesses it in spades. And it's envy. And he can't hide it.
What's in the box?
Yeah, what's in the box? It's envy. That's what's in your box.
That's my box. What's your box?
All of the other ones. That's the one I don't have.
Sloth?
You got it.
Gluttony?
Got it. Lust? Got it. What else? What are the other ones?
Rage? Is that one? Or anger?
I've got that. What are the seven deadly sins?
We have pride.
Got it.
Pride.
Got huge, way too much pride.
Have we named them all yet? I mean, all I do is think of the movie, so that's...
Seven.
deadly sins.
All right.
You've pride, greed, wrath.
No, I don't have
wrath.
Oh, that's I've a good got wrath. One. I've got 5 of 7.
5 of 7?
Which is still very good.
I've got 1 of 7.
You've got
you
1 of 7. You do not have. You do not have.
I think everyone needs a little sloth every once in a while. I mean, not too much, but you need a touch of sloth.
All right. Pride, yes. Greed, not really. I'm not.
Yeah, you're not. No, you're not a greedy. You're not a greedy person at all.
Not the opposite.
I mean, you want everybody to listen to this show. You're greedy when it comes to tier ones. You want everybody to listen to Ben and Woods.
Sure, but that's because of my pride.
Yeah.
You have envy in the worst way. Lust, gluttony, 100%. And sloth, absolutely. I, yesterday, was the example of a sloth. I did not move once I got home. I did not move until it was time to, like, my kids got home. I laid on my ass and I rested. And I was woken up by a leaf blower, as I usually am.
I'll tell you what, no sloth from Sammy Leavitt. He has been working his butt off for months. Postseason Sammy is going to have a special Friday check-in from the team hotel.
My wife in the chat, Lust. Lust, really? Yes, for you. And you alone.
Sam Leavitt, when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. Still shaken by the news that Sammy is staying at the team hotel.
He is so mad.
I'm wondering if it's so. I know a few of the places that they generally stay. One of them has a buttery cracker in the name, if you know what I'm talking
about.
Ritz in the name.
Yeah.
Another would rhyme with more reasons. And I'm not sure.
Oh, the landscaping company.
Yeah, the landscaping company.
Right.
I know that those are a couple of the places that that Major League Baseball teams tend to stay when they're on the road. Really, really nice and swanky places. We got Sam Leavitt standing by. He was at the workout day yesterday, had a game 5. Just give us a quick update on what's going on up in L.A., and we'll do that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Just quickly, JP in our chat asked, "What I'm wearing a Padres jersey." He says, "What player is Ben wearing?" Our ceremonial first pitch. It just says Ben and 97 on the back.
Mine says Woods
3. Yeah.
And I bought my Manny jersey the other day, and I went into the team store to get it, and I bought an XL because I've always been an XL, and it was like wearing a muumuu. And I told Hannah,
"It's better than buying an XL and realizing this is a little tight."
It was very, very big and blousy. And I go, "I can't wear this." Oh. And she goes, "You have to. You bought it today."
I like that word.
Blousy.
Blousy.
It was very blousy. And so now I need to get it altered because I was like, either I'm losing weight. Or these just run very big, and I'm guessing that it was running
jerseys
big.
Always tend to run on the bigger side.
Better bigger than smaller.
True enough.
But
true
then
enough.
If it's smaller, you could just leave it open and wear a t-shirt underneath. But it was the whole night. I was like tucking it into the side of my pants because it looked like Bo wearing one of my jerseys. It was crazy.
Moo-moo would
moo-moo.
Be a good incorporator word that we haven't given to Jesse yet.
Blousy right. Would be great.
Let's head up. Those would both
Blousy.
Be really good. Let's go up to Los Angeles, California right now where Sam Leavitt is standing by. He's been covering the entire Padres-Dodgers series and postseason. Sammy joins us right now on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Sam. Are you in the lap of luxury right now?
Oh, yeah.
I am at a much nicer hotel than I would normally be staying on my own. Well, to be honest with you, normally for these L.A. trips, I mean, for like the 8 or 9 I've done in my 3 seasons, typically the Odyssey Palace is Mikey Leavitt's apartment in West Hollywood. So I'm not on Mikey's couch. Got a little upgrade for the postseason. So thank you to the great folks over at Odyssey, Adam Klug on the board today for setting things up nicely. But it's been good and getting ready to go for, as you guys said, I suppose what could be the biggest game in the history of the franchise.
It's funny that you say that, because I called Adam the other day, and I said, hey, just a wrinkle. If we do get, you know, if we do move on and end up, you know, going to the highest of the high, I said, I've got a friend that lives in Wichita, Kansas, which is about 1.5 hours away. But he's a pizza magnate. He owns like 7 beautiful, brilliant pizza restaurants called Ziggy's. And he said, hey, if you guys win and we move on, you guys stay in my mansion. He has a mansion in Wichita. He goes, you guys can all stay there. You can broadcast from Ziggy's. And I called Adam and told him, he's like, oh, that's excellent news. He was so excited to think that maybe we could get a free place to stay.
In Wichita.
In Wichita, no. Which is a long drive. It's a long drive. Welcome to Wichita.
I don't think the Padres will be playing against Wichita in the World Series anytime soon.
It would have been a drive, for sure. But Adam would have made us do it, for sure. But well, I'm glad you're up there, Sammy. Should be a good one tonight, man. We were kicking around earlier. I don't know if you were listening. My gut feeling tells me that Yamamoto will not hold the ball for the to face Luis Arraez in the first inning. I don't know why I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
I mean, I guess anything's possible. I find it hard to believe that they'd announce. And they have to announce it at some point by league rules, from what I understand. But
well, they had Freddie. I mean, they had Freddie in the lineup the other day all day. He was in the lineup.
Or at least you have to state a probable starting pitcher.
Correct.
Look, obviously, you can do anything when it comes to your lineup card, just like they did with Freddie Freeman the other night. And they could. I mean, it sounded per Dave Roberts and per the workout yesterday that Freddie would be in there tonight. Who knows? I mean, that was some real gamesmanship they had before game four. And Woodsy, I suppose there's a possibility of anything. I would imagine it will be Yamamoto if they're announcing him. Yeah, I think so. That would seem like, now, if it's not, whoa. I mean, that is like some real, real trickery by the LA Dodgers, but I do think it will be. Now, I think it's an interesting decision. I was surprised to hear it based on, A, what Dave Roberts had to say earlier in the day, because it sounded like, even though they wouldn't announce anything, it sounded to me like they were going to go with another straight-up bullpen game, and maybe Yamamoto would somehow play a role. But the more you think about it, you know, maybe it's a little bit of, hey, we paid this guy $325 million, and, you know, there was a portion of the season where he was really, really good, and we know he struggled against the Padres, but if we can get him through the lineup, you know, one time and hand it to our bullpen, sure, we're going to try our best to get through it. I'm still surprised that they wouldn't just, and let's just assume that it's going to be Yamamoto. I'm still surprised that they're not just going more with a straight-up bullpen day after what happened in Game 4, and I think it's risky on the Dodgers' part. I do. I mean, he has not been good against the Padres, and especially in the first inning. I mean, he's given up 13 earned runs in just 9 innings against the Padres this season, including the start in Game 1. 10 of those runs have come in the first inning. So, yeah. Look, the Padres got to do what they've done against them before, and that score early. I think a lot of today falls on the offense, but I do think it'll be Yamamoto. That would be some major, major trickery from the Dodgers if it is not Yamamoto tomorrow. And who knows, if it's not going to be, maybe the Padres even know that right now. I'm not sure, but I guess for the moment here on the morning of Game 5, I'll take the L.A. Dodgers at their word.
Yeah, I mean, and in 19 starts, Sammy, this season, in the first inning, he has a 7.11 ERA in the first inning and 19 starts. And so, you know, you say, well, I mean, we paid him $325. We gotta pitch him. I don't know.
No,
I mean,
I'm surprised as well. I'm with you. I'm surprised. I really, really thought that, especially, and I know both managers yesterday during the press conferences were very coy, and I don't think anybody was surprised by that. But to me, when you heard Dave Roberts talk about it, and I do think when Dave talks, in my experience of seeing him talk, he can play things coy, but I do think you get a little something from everything he says, even if he's trying to play coy. And I felt like it was going to be a bullpen game by the way he was talking. Maybe somehow Yamamoto would play a role. I was very surprised to be sitting there last night and get that news that it was going to be Yamamoto. So I guess, look, Woodsy, we'll see, because to me, it's very surprising. So maybe you are on to something, that it will not be him with the ball on his hand in the first inning. You could be onto something, because I think it's surprising based on these numbers.
Sammy, what was the atmosphere, the vibe like for the Padres at their workout? Obviously, they had to shake off a really tough, you know, 8-0 loss. You know, one of the most lopsided losses of the season, but they've been good at setting aside setbacks this year. What did you feel like when you were down on the field with them yesterday?
Yeah, I thought it was loose. I thought it looked like any workout I've seen them have, much like the workouts before the other postseason games, to be honest. Much like, you know, I'm not saying it was like a spring training workout. Obviously, it's a lot different. I think the feel of these things are way different because you're sitting in a ballpark. Yeah, I'll be honest. The workouts are interesting, especially at night. You're sitting in an empty ballpark. It's basically the players and staff and a handful of other people, including me in the building, but very, very loose. You know, it's funny. Like, I posted videos yesterday of guys just taking swings in the cages and working out and on the field, and we had the funny stuff with Luis Arraez and finding a praying mantis in the outfield. You get some reactions on social media where people are like, you know, oh, they've got a, why are they laughing? And it's like, what do you want them to do? I mean, they should play and be like the guys they have been all year, in my opinion.
Yep.
Play loose, play with joy, play with a confidence. I mean, you do not want this team to show up today and be tight. That's the last thing you want. You don't want these guys to be pressing when they step in the batter's box at 5:08 against Yamamoto. So to me, it was, you know, it was confident, quiet confidence, like they've shown all year, like they've shown in the postseason, a looseness to it. And I didn't find anything out of the ordinary, which to me is a good thing. To me, you want them to be loose. You want them to play the type of game they can play and play with joy and play with an edge and be loose and ready to go. So I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary other than a team that, you know, kind of seemed like the team that we've seen all year.
And I almost think, and tell me, both of you guys, if you agree with me, it may be easier for the Padres to play loose and their style of baseball on the road as opposed to at home. For some reason, being in that atmosphere at Dodger Stadium, I think it brings out the Padres' inherent swagger, their swagger. Does that seem right to you guys?
Being on the road?
Being on the road, actually.
Yeah,
I think at home, obviously, they revel in the Petco Park fans, and I'm not saying that they have a home field disadvantage, but
they play better on the road.
I feel it's like okay. They really are driven and can be themselves totally, like just completely embrace what they are on the road.
Well,
almost
listen,
easier at home.
There's
no one to please.
Correct.
On the road.
You're on the road.
Yeah.
If again, Dave Roberts and Max Muncy, you know, both described them as villains and, oh, they, you know, they thrive off of chippiness and things like that. Well, who are you getting chippy with at your home ballpark for the most part? You know, I mean, unless you're in Philly or something and they're screaming about your wife and kids. Like, this is a place where, you know, they're celebrated, they're embraced. They're not at Dodger Stadium. If I'm Jerks and Profar, I'm running right out to left field and I'm staring down everybody in that section. That's the first thing I'm doing tonight. Hey, how we doing? You guys good? Like, I'm getting it ratcheted up. Because again, there's nothing wrong with fans being chippy, and there's nothing wrong with players being chippy back. Where it crosses the line, we all saw the other night with things being thrown on the field and stuff. So I hope that doesn't happen again. But yeah, I mean, I think you're there. There's no distractions. You don't have your family there. Nobody's busting your ass for tickets. And where can I sit? Can I sit in the suite? You know, all that stuff.
Well,
you're together. You're all together on the road. You're traveling on a bus. Like, you're not driving to the ballpark. It's just more of a together feeling.
And I had the stat yesterday, Sammy. Road teams are 21-14 in decisive game fives in the division series. NL home teams have lost 6 in a row in this situation. Yeah, I know it's not a huge sample size, but it's not nothing either. There's at least, I think I can say, there's no home field advantage in a Game 5 or a Game 7 in baseball. It just doesn't really exist. It comes down to which team plays better on the field.
Yeah, I also think taking a lead allows you to play with that kind of looseness and the way I think you want the Padres to play. Let's not forget Game 2, everything that happened. The Padres were ahead by a few runs for basically that entire game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that played a role in, you know, them being able to, you know, interact with the fans and, you know, have fun with them. And obviously they started throwing stuff. But I think a part of it was you had a lead. And to me, look, that's a big deal tonight, the first inning and the first few innings. if the Padres can you know, make it deja vu for Yamamoto and get some runs early, and Darvish can get through the top of the lineup for the first time cleanly, it's just a huge deal. And, you know, this is the type of game where every at-bat's going to be magnified. Like Luis Arraez's first inning, hey, you know, a base hit would be nice. You know, Profar, the top of the lineup, we know Tatis has been red hot. Manny's had a couple of moments in this series. And the Padres need Arraez to go out there and collect a few hits and set the tone at the top of the lineup.
Gotta have it.
Situations for the guys behind him. Yeah.
Gotta have it.
For grabbing an early lead, I think, is really, really, really important. It's not everything, but could be very, very vital to keeping your season alive.
Sammy, I know you got a long day. Appreciate you checking in from the palace.
Oh, no. Did you get room service?
No.
Come on. You got to take it these guys.
No, I am. I'm doing all the normal things I normally do. Just
get room service and breakfast in bed.
Sammy,
no, get breakfast in bed.
Thank you so much,
Adam. I'll pay. Put it on my tab.
You know what? When you go to one of those fancy hotels,
you have to
the room service breakfast.
So
when you
elite.
Say when you look at you know, I'm just gonna have the waffles, and you go $32
worth
for
it.
The waffles, and
worth
I'm going
it.
That's batter. That's batter. That costs them 8 cents to make, and
it's
they're going to charge
it.
You $32
Adam,
to put it under a cloche and bring it up to your room.
What's his per diem?
For Sammy?
Yeah.
I don't
anything
have per
wants.
Diem.
Anything he wants?
Anything he wants. He doesn't have a per
Sammy,
diem.
Sammy, I'll get order breakfast in bed. I'm serious. I'll pay for it. I want you to have
I don't have any per diem. As Adam knows, and this is during spring training, I am very, very responsible with my general expenses,
okay.
Always.
We'll get you
He's just a trustworthy employee. You don't need per diems when you have trustworthy employees, Woods.
Okay.
All right.
Have fun.
Thank you, Sammy.
All right. See ya.
Sam Levitt, postseason Sammy, and hopefully he will be heading to a New York hotel later this week.
Oh, he's got friends up there.
Sure. Oh, that's for sure. You know. Yeah. He's the king. He'll be the king when he returns.
Maybe stay with his parents.
For the championship series.
He's got to commute in from Long Island every day.
Meatloaf!
Mama! Meatloaf!
We're going to roll on. It is Friday. That means Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. We got Jake when we come back. Hour number 3 of Bennett Woods next on San Diego's number 1 sports station, 97.3 The Fan.